I want to read in verses 32 through 44. Matthew 27, verses 32 through 44. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. They crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Before we celebrate Christ's triumphing over death this Sunday during our resurrection service, it is needful for us to commemorate Christ's death on the cross this evening. And why should we take the time to commemorate the death of our Lord and Savior on his cross? Well, because the cross is the foundation on which Christianity stands. The cross is the fountain through which sinners receive forgiveness. Christ's death on the cross is the highest demonstration of the reality of God's unmerited love. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave. And he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, and thus demonstrating to the world that he is a loving God, the just dying for the unjust." In the passage before us, we see the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. And as he is hanging on the cross, we read of some who passed by him uttering insulting words of disbelief and disgust. As the Creator of heaven was accomplishing his greatest work, others were treating him as a crazy liar and a blasphemer. I want us to notice in verses 39 through 42, one repetitive phrase that is brought to our attention several times. There's one main desire the scorners of Christ wanted Christ to do. They wanted him to save himself. Those who passed by wanted him to prove his professed power and deity by coming down from the cross. Notice that verse 40. "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself." Come down from the cross. Verse 42. "He saved others. Himself he cannot save." Verse 42b. "If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." Continuing on in verse 44, "The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth." Or in other words, they said the same thing as others. "Come down from the cross, save yourself." repetitious phrases in the Bible like those that we have here in this passage ought to catch our attention. And the Spirit, the author of the Scripture, has placed these repetitious phrases in the Scripture for a reason. It ought to cause us to meditate on that which is being highlighted or stressed by God, so that we might be taught the important truth that is seeking to be brought out. And Christ's scorners wanted Christ to abandon the cross and save himself. And the question I want to bring to our attention this evening is, what if he did? What if Christ did? What if Christ abandoned the cross? What if the Lord gave into their requests? Well, if Jesus forsook dying on the cross, it would have, number one, diminished his word. Remember all the Old Testament prophecies given to us about the Lord Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross. And the first is given to us in the garden when God created the first man, Adam. And Adam became a living soul. And God gave Adam a helpmeet, Eve. And God commanded Adam to keep one commandment. And that one commandment, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam rebelled. Adam disobeyed. And the Bible says, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And we are sinners by nature through the first man, Adam. The reality is, nobody has to teach us to sin. Our parents did not sit us down on their laps and teach us how to lie, how to deceive, how to steal, how to covet, how to get angry at our siblings. It was already in our heart. It was in our nature. And there in the garden, though Adam was banished from the garden, there was a promise made. Oh, there were curses that came from the fall. By the sweat of the brow, Adam will work. And through childbearing, Eve will receive great pain, and she will have to follow the ways of her husband. But within those curses, there also comes a blessing. In Genesis 3:15, God tells the serpent, God tells Satan, the devil, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. We know this promise, Genesis 3:15, given to us as the first mention of the gospel. The first promise that there will be a Messiah, that there will be a Christ who will crush the work of Satan. And throughout the Old Testament, from Genesis onward, we have God giving to his people promises that there will be a lamb, that there will be a sacrifice, that there will be an atonement made for sin. Isaiah 53, we read it tonight. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He, this is Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. If Jesus would have come down from the cross, it would have diminished the word of God. Everything that Moses and the prophets uttered and said that was from God would not be true, would not be accurate. But because Jesus stayed on the cross, it verifies that the word of God is true. If Jesus forsook dying on the cross, second, it would have discredited his teachings. When Jesus Christ came to earth, when he walked among men, when he tabernacled among us, he said he would die. Mark chapter 8, verse 31, and he, Jesus, began to teach them his disciples that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Next chapter, Mark chapter 9, verse 31. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Mark chapter 10, verses 33 and 34. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes. And they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him. Here it is in our text. The prophecy fulfilled exactly what Jesus said. They shall mock him, and they shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. If Jesus forsook the cross, it would have discredited his own teachings, making Jesus one of the greatest liars who has ever lived. Not only a liar, but a lunatic. And think about it. If these were the mere words of men, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be murdered as a common thief, and then I'm going to rise again, if he would have come down from the cross and abandoned his mission to sacrifice himself for the sins of the world, it would have discredited his teaching. But there's the third point. If Jesus forsook dying on the cross, it would have dishonored the Father. John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Well, what was his work? God the Father's work. Well, if we look back at the prophecies, God was orchestrating everything through the promises of God, through the nation of Israel, whereby a Messiah would come and sacrifice himself as the lamb that was pictured in the sacrifices of the Old Testament in the tabernacle. He finished his work. And Jesus said, it is finished. He gloriously rose again 3 days later. And Jesus says, John 6, 38, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. 1 John 4, 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. If Jesus would have abandoned his mission, it would have dishonored the Father. There would have been disunity in the Trinity. But remember, Christ was crucified even before the foundation of the world. When Adam fell, God was not shocked. God did not wring his hands on the eternal throne of heaven and say, oh boy, what should we do now? I never saw this coming. No, it was planned in eternity past. Now try to wrap your mind around that and you'll be boggled forever. But Christ stayed on the cross, honored his Father. If Jesus forsook dying on the cross, it would have forth destroyed the world. If Christ abandoned the cross, there would be no offer of eternal salvation. Mankind would be eternally doomed forever. There would be no hope for the soul because Leviticus 17:11 says, it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood is no remission, no forgiveness. But thanks be to God that Jesus Christ endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. The Bible says, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, he died in our place. we should pay the penalty for our sin. We deserve the justice and judgment of God. But what this text is telling us is that Jesus Christ came in love, by mercy, through grace, to die for us, to die in our place. We wronged God. Jesus was pure and perfect and innocent. He went about doing good. And yet, He died in our place. And the Bible says we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Because Christ remained on the cross, there is hope for sinners. Christ's death is the satisfaction of God's justice for all who will believe. It atones, Christ's blood atones for the sin of all who will turn from their wicked ways and confess their own unworthiness of salvation. Christ's death provides a way for the enemies of God to be the friends of God, for the enemies of God to be at peace with God. Christ's death demonstrates that His work of redemption is sufficient. Remember the cry, "It is finished." In other words, there is nothing that man can do to merit his way to the Father. The work has been accomplished. The work has been done. It is not Jesus and man. It is not by works of righteousness, which we do, but it's according to His mercy that He saves us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So those who were calling for Christ to come down and save Himself did not understand that Christ had to stay on the cross to save others. He didn't entertain their desire to see if He could save Himself, because He knew that this was the only way to redeem mankind. And so we learn from this that Christ remaining on the cross teaches us that the prophecies of the Old Testament are reliable. The Bible that you are holding in your hand right now is true. It is not a book of myths. It is not one of many spiritual books written by men that contains error. This book is like no others. This book is heaven sent. This book is God breathed. And so we can trust that which is true. Not only can we trust the Word of God is true, Christ remaining on the cross teaches us that Christ's teachings are true. Everything that Christ said comes to pass. And this can be the most wonderful blessing to the soul, or it can be the most dreadful thing to the soul. Because Jesus says, "Those who come to Me, you will in no wise cast out." Jesus says, "Those who believe shall have everlasting life." But Jesus also says, "Those who believe not on Me will die in their sins." And Jesus does not lie. Jesus is true. All of His promises are yea and amen. God is not a man that He should lie. So we can trust Christ's teachings. And when the Bible gives the parable or illustration of the man who builds his house on the rock and the man who builds his house on the sand, what is primarily the foundations is the Word of God, the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The wise man builds his house, he builds his life on the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The foolish man builds his life on the opinions of man and the thoughts of this world. So there are really only two people in this life, those who are wise, those who have been given wisdom through the Spirit by the gospel, not that they are wise in and of themselves. Those who are in heaven and those who go to heaven are not there because they have a higher IQ than the world. but because God has revealed His truth and they have been wise enough to receive the gift of salvation. Those who are foolish, those who are building on sinking sand, are those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ and His teachings. Remaining on the cross, Christ remaining on the cross, also teaches us that the Father's will be done, always. The Father's will cannot be thwarted. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, and the Son will be the Savior of the world. Again, it was purposed in eternity past. It will come to pass. God's will be done. Though devils seek to thwart the plan of God, though evil men seek to twist God's work, it will not happen. Because God is sovereign enough to work even the enemies of God into the plan of God. And we see that in the crucifixion, don't we? It was the Romans who took Christ and crucified Him. Was desired by the Jews. And Peter says this at the day of Pentecost. You took Jesus Christ and you crucified Him. And yet in the same breath he says, well, this was determined from long, long ago. But this was the Father's will. And so we can rest assured that God's will be done. How is it that we have hope when we look at the television and when we hear of wars and rumors of war? How is it that we can continue in this life? Well, because we know that God is over all. He's in control. He is the king. He's the only wise potentate. He will do all of His good pleasure. And that's how I rest at night. Knowing that God's in control. Man's not in control. The wicked leaders of this world are not in control. Those behind the buttons of missiles are not in control. God's ultimately in control. And we see this on the cross. God's in control. God's giving His Son grace to remain on the cross so that He might be an atonement for others. And then His remaining on the cross teaches us that Christ is the only sufficient Savior. He is not a Savior. He is the Savior. And this is important to bring out, and I think we take this for granted, but we live in a day and age which people say, well, what's good for you is good for you. What's good for me is good for me. Don't you know that all roads lead to Rome? All roads lead to heaven? If you're sincere and if you believe in God or a God, God will know your sincerity and somehow He will bring you to Himself. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is only through Christ. He is the Savior. So let me ask tonight, have you trusted this Savior for the salvation of your soul? Truly. I didn't ask if you have gone through a religious system. I didn't ask if you merely believe that there is a God. I didn't ask if you abstain from smoking or drinking or cussing, if you live a moral life. Have you seen your sin before God? Have you understood you deserve justice before God? Have you seen that God would be good to cast you away forever because of your sin? Because sin is vile and offensive before Him. But in the same breath, we also see that God in His goodness sent a Savior for you personally. And here again, here's where people get mixed up. People say, well, yeah, Jesus is a Savior, but that's not salvation. Salvation is Jesus is my Savior. Jesus died for me. And it's you being born again. Not just general, not just out there, but Jesus sacrificing for you. The Holy Spirit awakening you, giving you a new birth, a new heart, new affections. And if you're here tonight and you say, well, I'm not sure, I'm a Christian. I don't know if I truly have the life of God living within me. I don't really have a fervent love for Him. I don't really have a fervent love for His Word and a fervent love for His people and a fervent love for His work. Can I encourage you tonight to get that settled with God and get it settled soon? Because life is short. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. See Christ on the cross. He's hanging there for you. He rose again victoriously from the third day for you. The Bible says all you must do is with a broken and contrite spirit, with a spirit that grieves over sin. Again, salvation must, the first step of salvation is understanding your sin. It's not just mere mental belief. Because Christ came to die for what? For sin. For sinners. So if we are to come to Christ, we must come understanding the depth of our sin. And when we see the depth of our sin, we will see the width of His grace. And so we cast ourselves upon Him as the only sufficient Savior. And we cry out as the publican did, God, be merciful to me, a what? Sinner. And that word merciful means God be propitious. God be a propitiation for me. I'm a sinner. The Christian believer tonight, looking at the cross, we ought to ask ourselves, what are we most concerned about in this life? Look at Christ on the cross. What are we most concerned about? Our comfort? What others say about us? How others view us? Christ was not concerned about these things. Rather, He was concerned about doing God's will and dying to self. And these two come together, don't they? They dovetail. And that's what we ought to be concerned about in this life as believers. Doing God's will and dying to self. Doing God's will honors God. Obeying the Scriptures honors Him. It pleases Him. It glorifies Him. And dying to self allows Christ to shine through us in the most brightest, in the brightest way. So this is what we are called to do. We are called to be like Christ, to take up our cross and follow Him, to die to our own comforts and to our own pleasures and do exactly what He has commanded us to do. And before anybody misunderstands, somebody might say, well, this whole Christianity thing seems pretty serious. It sounds like there's no joy, no fun. Well, that's certainly not true. The Bible says that laughter does good as medicine. Fruit of the Spirit is joy. But there is a seriousness. There is a soberness when we think about serving the One who died for us. Demands my soul, my heart, my all. Dying to self. Living for Christ. Glorifying Him. And there will be others who say, what are you doing taking up the cross and following Jesus? Others in this world, family members, friends, what are you doing being so fanatical for the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do you read your Bible every day? Why do you pray? Why do you go to church on a Wednesday night? This is Easter break. Don't you know you could be doing 1,000 other things? They will say, true Christians don't sacrifice. If you are a true Christian, abandon the cross, abandon your sacrifices. And the enemy will say the same thing to us. Come down from the cross, abandon your self-sacrifice, abandon your faithfulness to the Lord. And what should we do? We should remember the cross. We should remember the One who did not abandon for us. And we will be tempted. Have you ever been tempted in this way? Abandon. Just abandon. The war's too tough. Don't you think Christ was in a lot of pain on the cross? The pain is too great. Come down. And we will face moments in our life where it will be a dark, dark valley. And there will be great, great pain. But those valleys and that pain only leads to a triumphant day. Only leads to hearing those words, "Well done, and thou good and faithful servant." So when we're tempted, remember the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Remember that He did not abandon for you. And we must continue dying to self so that we might have true life. Dying to self brings true life. And many are not truly living because they are not truly dying. Matthew 16, verse 25, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." What if Christ abandoned the cross? Well, His word would be diminished. His teachings would be discredited. The Father would be dishonored. And the world would be destroyed. But thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Christ remained on the cross for us. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank You for this truth, this humbling truth. Lord, who in this place can truly comprehend the depth of this truth? God dying for sinful men. And we of all men are most sinful. You know our hearts and You know our thoughts. And yet, Father, You've come to provide an atonement for our soul. Lord, may this truth humble us and keep us humble. May this truth prevent us from walking in the ways of this world. May this truth cause true joy within our hearts, that we would rejoice each day for the life that You have given to us. And we can be the most joyful of all when we truly remember that Christ has died for our soul. And we are going to live for Him. Oh Lord, we thank You for the truth of Your word, and I thank You for our salvation. We pray that we would never take it for granted, Lord, but that we would always live in the light of the cross. And as we seek to take up our cross and deny ourselves and follow You, Lord, You know that we need Your grace, that we cannot live the Christian life in and of ourselves. We need Your power and we need Your might to strengthen our hearts every day, to strengthen our souls, to do that which You've commanded us. And Lord, may we every day look for opportunities to deny ourselves and to lift up Christ. For we say with John, "We must decrease and He must increase." We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.